This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, with also a special edition of the Becker's Behavioral Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Stuart Archer, the Chief Executive Officer of Oceans Healthcare, and one of the smartest people in the behavioral health world that we get to visit with. Stuart, we're going to talk today about what trends you're watching in behavioral and mental health, what you're most focused on today, and a lot more. Can you take a moment and introduce yourself and tell us about yourself, your career, Oceans Healthcare?
Sure. Well, you know, Scott, thank you and your team for having me back again today. It's almost 2 years since last time we spoke, and man, we've had a few things that have hit us, haven't we? And happy to share a little bit about our journey, our story, and some things that we're seeing in the industry and in behavioral health, just in general. Just as a refresh or a reminder for your listeners, Oceans is a behavioral health organization, a for-profit behavioral health organization based in Plano, Texas. We're one of the largest behavioral health providers in the Southeast, with 36 locations, over 24 hospitals. We focus on several different populations, but we are generally in underserved markets and in what we call middle America, focused on the both inpatient and outpatient needs of adults, older adults, and adolescents across those communities.
Thank you. And take a moment on sort of, what are you seeing currently with behavioral health? Has your business moved some to virtual, not that much to virtual? Is it just overwhelmed? Or what do you sort of see in terms of staffing and trying to take care of populations and funding? Give us a sense of that.
Sure. You know, again, like many of your listeners, I've had a chance to have a very diverse background in healthcare. Started out on the post-acute care side in the long-term acute care hospital industry. Spent some time in the IRF industry. Was blessed to spend over a decade at the LHC Group in the home health hospice area, and certainly all those levels of care. And at least the time that I was there, saw a lot of change. But I would tell you, I've never seen a more dynamic time than the time that we're seeing right now in behavioral health, and I'm very encouraged. You know, both at the, I think that the winds of change, I would call it, and I think the national dialogue we're having around behavioral health. Now, I would tell you that is buttressed up against some terrible events that I think our country has seen and that we continue to suffer from. And so for me, as I think about this discussion about virtual, as I think about this discussion around funding, expanding access, I think anything that brings more care to people in ways that give them more flexibility and ultimately give them more power back to make those decisions, we're just huge fans of. You know, so many times behavioral health patients and providers are forced to comply with and forced to do things that patients in other levels of care and with other payers are not forced to do. So for me, you know, virtual has always been a part of behavioral health. The problem has been we just haven't been paid for it. So now I think with the additional flexibility, I think, to do these things, and I would remind our listeners that some of those are still temporary. We're hoping to see those made permanent by Congress later this year. They were able to provide more flexible care where a patient is in their continuum of care. Today, unfortunately, stigma is still very prevalent in behavioral health. I think people are still very worried about being seen, sometimes receiving this care. So we've seen, virtual being something that allows patients to receive care on an ongoing basis. But for a large portion of patients, it's also a way to get them started in a way in which they can preserve some level of anonymity in their community. They can access a great caregiver. And so we're a big fan of anything that puts power back in the hands of patients and families and gives them increased access to care.
Thank you. And talk about sort of where you see shortages in the mental health field, psychiatrist level, psychologist level, social worker level, all of the above. Where are the shortages most acute, and are there things that could be done about them?
Well, I would say yes to that question. First of all, I think we see shortages in almost every area. And again, from our perspective, we're working in states and in areas that have had a real shortage of care historically. So we're in areas that haven't, you know, and I think we're emblematic of a lot of the country, where as you step outside of, you know, large urban areas, you know, we have never had a very large behavioral health workforce. And there's a lot of historic reasons for that. And so I think at this moment in our country's history, we are really seeing, unfortunately, I think the byproduct of not talking to our students very early on. And I'm talking about our nurses and other areas about having a career in behavioral health. If you talk to many nurses today, and I do, you know, on our staff trying to learn about behavioral health, they found, unfortunately, behavioral health later in their career. You know, they either didn't have a high quality kind of experience during nursing school, one wasn't offered. And so I think we have to start earlier, and we have to look at, you know, the experiences that these folks are having during school. Is there a positive role model for them? And are they having quality residencies? And then from our perspective, are we offering, you know, schools those abilities to come into our level of care and see what it is that we do as an industry and the wonderful career people can have here and the difference that they can make in people's lives? But I certainly think that we need investments in behavioral health workforce. I think because the double-edged sword of virtual is that it has consumed and continues to consume large portions of a very limited work pool. And again, I think there's upside to that. It provides the care that we talked about earlier, but it also, you know, more than ever, you know, we need more and we need more folks and bright minds in this industry.
Thank you. And take a moment on this question, Stuart. What are you most focused on right now? Where are you most focused currently?
You know, for us, I think we're probably like a lot of folks in healthcare today. We're a bit schizophrenic. You know, a big portion of our days are focused on what I would call the basic blocking and tackling of running a healthcare company, staffing, the cost of staffing, supply chain, just all those things that come into play when you run really any business. But in a business like ours, where it is a people business at the end of the day, you know, labor and the cost of labor and the supply of labor has been something that has really, really consumed us and continues to be a big focus for our organization. At the same time, you know, there are no less than, I think, 7 to 12 different bills that are moving around at a federal level. In addition, at the state levels, there are numerous bills moving around in terms of behavioral health. And so I think we're also, as an organization, trying to lend a voice to and to plan for, I think, an environment that is changing very quickly. I think generally more for the positive, but also understanding, adapting, and preparing our organization for I think, what will be an evolving world in behavioral health.
Thank you. And talk about a behavioral health, mental health provider like an Ocean's Healthcare. What's the general direction of the payer mix? Is it Medicaid, Medicare? Is it commercial? Is it customer pay? What does that look like in general buckets?
So for our organization, all of our hospitals are Joint Commission accredited, Medicare, Medicaid certified hospitals. And so since the beginning, Ocean's has always had an all willing payer mindset. So we work with any willing payer in all of our communities to provide care to the broadest access of patients. That being said, the roots of our organization are a little bit different than a lot of other behavioral health companies. We started and continue today to be one of the largest providers of care to older adults and geriatrics in the country. And so today, Medicare and Medicare Advantage make up a pretty significant portion of our reimbursement model when you look at it. Probably second for us is Medicaid and then commercial insurance.
Fascinating. That makes a ton of sense to me. Is there a lot of work with the local community hospitals in the communities you're in, the local nursing homes? Do they view you as cooperative versus competitive? How's that relationship?
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, all healthcare, all good healthcare is a team sport. and we view ourselves as just that, and we really strive with our partners on the acute care side to be seen that way. Our EDs, for a lot of different reasons, have unfortunately become the single port of entry and the place that, for so many communities, have become the place that behavioral health patients end up or they're brought. And so, we work very closely with our local health systems on how to, hopefully rewire that over time, how to expedite and bring a patient to the right level of care at the right time as quickly as we can. And so we work very closely with the health systems in our region on those, on those issues and those problems. I would say that, also for us, we work in states that have expanded Medicaid and we work in states that haven't expanded Medicaid. And so I think that also at times can add a level of complexity as we look at, finding the right bed or the right level of care for the patient at the right time.
Fantastic. And Stuart, where can people learn more about Ocean's Healthcare?
Sure. Well, like everyone, we certainly have a website where there's a tremendous amount of information that you can learn about our organization and some of the things that we're doing. And there you can find access around services. If it's a patient that needs care or a family that needs care, you can also get updates on legislatively some of the things that we're doing. And then lastly, some of the most exciting work that we've been doing recently, and this is also on our website, is our joint ventures with leading health systems across our company. We today are partnered with Ochsner Healthcare in a couple different locations and LSU as well. Very excited about that partnership as well as other health systems. So I think you can find certainly more about those success stories and the other services we offer on our website.
And last question, is there anything I didn't ask you about that you wanted to take a moment and talk about today? Anything at all that you wanted to mention as well?
No, I think probably, the biggest, other thing that we're focusing on is our joint ventures. We've got several successful partnerships within our organizations, but our partnership with Ochsner LSU Health is one that we're particularly proud of. And again, I think we've heard and we've experienced, many of us, the COVID stories of resilience through an acute care lens. I would just share that, in that partnership, we opened up one of the only active COVID units for psych patients in the state of Louisiana with our Ochsner LSU partnership, and provided care to hundreds of patients that really, wouldn't have gotten or would have been, I think, in more of a medical unit without, unfortunately, access to as much behavioral health. And so we're very proud of that partnership and the other partnerships. We're working very closely with the Christus Health System in Texas here as well. And so I just view this as a growing part, not only of our business, but I think also of the dialogue nationally as we think about behavioral health.
Stuart, again, thank you so much for joining us. Remarkable work that you folks do. For joining the Becker's Healthcare, Becker's Behavioral Health Podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.